Maybe your grandmother made the joke. You don't have to make a federal case out of this. Making a federal case out of something. Abbott and Costello, Jackie Gleason, my grandmother, making a big deal out of not so much. That's what a federal case is. And we're seeing it big time. You know, the attorney general, I'm still freaked out about this, wrote a letter to the FBI documenting it, putting it out for everybody, that the FBI is now supposed to keep an eye on those school board meetings. Why? What's the threat here? What's the problem? No crimes happening here. It's just a bunch of men and women, mostly women, by the way, of all races, all ethnicities, winning arguments. They're doing so well when they speak truth to power and decrying this nasty critical race theory stuff. All right. So they're making a federal case out of this because they don't like that they're winning and they love critical race theory. Yes, the federal government, the Biden administration, Merrick Garland. Here's another little piece of the puzzle, though. Get this. Merrick Garland has a daughter. Seems very nice. Her name is Rebecca. He's married. She's married to some guy. They look like a great couple. Next picture, if you don't mind. He's got a big job, Mr. Tanner, at a place called Panorama Software. I'm sure it's a fine company. And they make a product that they certainly believe in, educational software, which, according to them, is enables systemic social emotional learning. A lot of folks have been through this, and they see a woke approach and worldview. Critical race theory might not be something that they have any problem with whatsoever. Could that be maybe influencing the attorney general's sudden interest in all of this? I think it goes along very well. It just all kind of comes together, doesn't it? All right, so that's that. A federal case, though, out of small things. We've seen it throughout the Trump administration, right? All those people who were, I believe, targeted, not for anything they did, but because they were associates of Donald Trump.
In what universe is it possible that an American president has his campaign chairman arrested, that's Paul Manafort, and his deputy campaign chairman arrested, that's Rick Gates, and his campaign manager arrested, Steve Bannon, and his national security advisor arrested, that's Mike Flynn, and his personal lawyer arrested, that's Michael Cohen, and his longtime political advisor arrested, that's Roger Stone, and his campaign foreign policy.
Let me help you out on this, Rachel. The longer that list gets, the worse it is for the swamp, because clearly these folks are being targeted, not for anything they, can we turn her down just a little bit? Not for anything they did, but because they're associated with Donald Trump. Because if you look at what they got him on, it had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Michael Cohen didn't pay taxes on some taxi cab license he had 20 years ago. I mean, we're talking about minute stuff that they turned into, no kidding, a federal case. Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani has had his law license suspended in all of this. Hasn't been charged with any crime, yet the FBI raided his house, raided his law office, and that law license gone. He's one of the greatest litigators in America. And look at how they're treating him. This makes sense, though. This is all very much in keeping with the socialist's grand plan. Have you ever seen this? Socialist. Let's talk Soviet. Show me the man and I'll find you the crime. That was from Joseph Stalin's chief of police. We can get anybody on anything we want. We'll find something. Leave it to us. And I think that's what's happening right now. Here's a prime example of that. The fake news, since they're in charge, they never really highlighted this. But there was a congressman who I knew named Michael Grimm. I think he was born to be a congressman. He was great, a former Marine. He was passionate about constituent services, but he may have made a few prominent Democrats here in New York mad at him, so they started investigating. I mean, everything this guy ever did. And the day they indicted him, it really sounded like, boy, oh boy, this guy must be dirty. He must have done something just totally awful. Listen.
A former Marine, a former FBI agent who knew what fraud looked like, an accountant and an attorney, Michael Grimm was poised for success as an entrepreneur. Michael Grimm made the choice to go from upholding the law to breaking it. And in so doing, he turned his back on every oath he had ever taken.
Wow. I mean, that sounds really, really serious. After Michael Grimm was a Marine, after he was an FBI agent, before he was a member of Congress, he ran a smoothie store. where you can get healthy drinks and salads. Healthalicious, right here in New York City. So guess what they got him on? That press conference, right? Not paying the delivery boys on the books. The delivery boys weren't paid on the books. And Michael Grimm went to prison for that. He actually went to prison. Now, try to find someone anywhere in North America who went to federal prison for paying the delivery boys off the books. It's never happened. It literally has never happened. It only happened to him, the Republican congressman, who is threatening, I think, the comfort level of certain Democrats who did not want to see a rising star like him on the scene. This is a trend. I mean, okay, that's a few years ago, but look at Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. He's speaking out, criticizing Joe Biden. They throw him in the brig. How about the Marine hero from Afghanistan who rescued a baby? And his big mistake, appearing on stage with Donald Trump recently, not saying anything political, and now the Pentagon is investigating him for violating DOD regulations. He said nothing political. He did nothing wrong whatsoever. This is happening, folks, and it's one thing if it happens to people like Steve Bannon, and he's rich, and he's smart, and he can take care of himself. And by the way, he got a pardon. But when it starts happening to Lance Corporal Clark, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, and this guy. I want to introduce you to Sergeant Mullins, Ed Mullins. He is a longtime union head here in New York City. He's in charge of the Sergeants Union. He's an advocate for police sergeants. He's also a brutal, brutal critic of Joe Biden and Bill de Blasio, the mayor we have here. Twitter. Take a look at what he likes to say. And it's all true, by the way. I agree with him. Regarding Mayor de Blasio, you're a disgrace spewing without facts. Your policies killed more people than all of law enforcement. I agree with that as well. Also, de Blasio has lost control of New York City. Obviously, have you seen the footage? Every day we have a nightmare on the streets of New York. So he's calling this stuff out, and you're allowed to. This is America. De Blasio is a public official. And you're allowed to criticize these folks, right? Well, they found a reason to justify, oh, he went too far. So I want to show you something. This is de Blasio's family. They're nice people, all right? On the left there is his daughter, Kiara. And along with thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, she got carried away last summer at one of those Black Lives Matter protests slash riots, okay? So the specifics are unclear, but she gets herself arrested. I'm going to show you the mugshot in a moment. Here in New York, the tradition is they don't release mugshots. Actually, the tradition was to release them. That stopped for some reason. I don't know why. Somebody leaked it, and it's quite a picture. All right. Here's her mugshot. And yeah, she's not at her best. And this went semi-viral, and it's out there now. And who didn't like that? Well, Mr. de Blasio, the dad. Who could blame him? But you can't take revenge like this. This is a story of public interest. I'm sorry, a Black Lives Matter protest, the mayor's daughter gets arrested there. I want to know about that. I want to see this picture. And I did. So yesterday, Tuesday, is the first day, literally the first day on the job of our new U.S. attorney in the Southern District, a guy by the name of Damian Williams. And he said to be rather leftist, rather woke, and might get along just fine with a guy named Bill de Blasio. So what happens just as he takes office? Ed Mullins has his house raided and his office raided. The FBI sweeps in there and they cart out boxes. Wow, look at this. It must be bad, right? I mean, the FBI, and they got the jackets on and the boxes and the house. They also raided that. And then look at Ed Mullins here as he leaves. I mean, look, oh boy, you know how this goes. The news media shows up at your house and cameras are rolling. You see the guy on the news. The FBI is around. He looks like he's in a lot of trouble, right? They made him resign from the union, but he hasn't been arrested. He hasn't been charged. What's going to happen next? I don't know, but it looks like the damage they may have wanted has already been inflicted, and so many people seem to be rejoicing. The mayor's press secretary put out quite a statement on the news of this man's, nothing really happened to him. I don't know if he's going to rot in prison, but I do know he's going to rot in hell. Now, that's not up to Bill de Blasio or his press secretary. And what he's alleged to have done, those aren't cardinal sins. That's way over the line, don't you think? And whatever happened here, I don't think anybody deserves that if they seek forgiveness. Look, when public officials and their families make a mistake, it's news. I don't like it, but it is. Who remembers when the Bush daughters, they used to like to have a great time, right? Didn't they have a drinking issue at one point? Drinking, not like alcoholics, but underage drinking. And I remember it day after day, all these things about what happened to them. But they were Republicans. They were Republicans. It's like as simple as that. That's the real difference. All right. So this makes me uncomfortable, and it should make you uncomfortable. You know about January 6th, of course, and they're trying to make this the worst day ever. The worst day ever. And anybody who talks about the election of 2020, raises concerns about its fairness, says positive things about Donald Trump, who is a vocal and strident Joe Biden critic like me, I don't know. I mean, I don't want the FBI showing up in my home or office trying to, they got the man, they can find the crime, right? Isn't that how it works? That's how it worked in the Soviet Union. And we have people like General Milley actually saying this to the most prestigious reporter in the country, Bob Woodward. We have the Patriot Movement, a far-right militia, We the People Movement, Nazis, Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, Newsmax, the conservative news website, which had been friendly toward Trump for a long time. Newsmax. I'm a host on Newsmax. They have me right there with the Nazis. This is insane. But this is setting it up. So one day, who knows, the FBI knocks at my door, your door. These guys, they used to command such respect, the FBI, right? But after Jim Comey, after Russiagate, so much damage has been done. I believe that they're capable of just about anything. I also believe that we are on the right side of history and that our founding fathers would be astounded and sad at what has happened. They'd also be on our side as well. Be right back.
Have you checked out the Newsmax Daily Podcast with me, Rob Carson? You get daily news, insightful commentary, and believe it or not, comedy. Check it out wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts or at newsmaxtv.com/podcast.
All I can say is that the fake news just doesn't get it, do they?
They're actually starting to a little bit regarding Hunter Biden. Look, nobody can say this guy's an artist, not even the fake news. And but Hunter is going through with it. He actually came out with a bunch of crummy paintings and he's selling them in public. And he's going to the sales. And the White House said this wouldn't happen. There's Hunter Biden with Sugar Ray Leonard. Here he is with some other California luminary. That's, I think, Mayor Tubbs from Stockton, California. I think we've got Hunter with somebody else. That's Moby the singer checking out Hunter's artwork. All kinds of people checking this stuff out. Hunter Biden is not supposed to be doing this, everybody. He's supposed to be, this is all supposed to be anonymous. People who buy Hunter Biden's paintings for $500,000, Hunter isn't supposed to know who they are. Because guess what? Conceivably, likely, that these people who buy crummy art for $500,000 will want something from Hunter, i.e. Joe Biden, the big man. Jen Psaki, who's getting incredibly good at lying, or maybe not so good because it's so obvious, told us it wasn't going to be this way. It was all going to be anonymous and Hunter, and nobody would know who's buying the art.
After careful consideration, a system has been established that allows for Hunter Biden to work in his profession within reasonable safeguards. Of course, he has the right to pursue an artistic career, just like any child of a president has the right to pursue a career. But all interactions regarding the selling of art and the setting of prices will be handled by a professional gallerist adhering to the highest industry standards. And any offer out of the normal course would be rejected out of hand. And the gallerist will not share information about buyers or prospective prospective buyers, including their identities with Hunter Biden or the administration, which provides quite a level of protection and transparency.
Okay, wow, but that's gone. She's saying this stuff from the White House podium, right? The White House. She just said that Hunter's not going to know anything. You just saw that he's partying with these people, these potential buyers. And that was brought up today. Reasonable question, right? We noticed that he's going to these gallery things and he's actually trying to sell his artwork and he's part of the process. What do you say to that, Psaki?
What is the White House's response to the fact that an ambassador nominee was at this event? And secondly, should we expect to see more people who seek jobs in this administration attending events like this in the future?
Well, to be clear, we've spoken to the arrangement that is run by the gallerist and Hunter Biden's representatives that the White House provided suggestions for. I'd refer you to the gallerist for questions about the event and as well as the representatives of Mr. Garcetti in terms of his attendance.
Just to follow up, this is exactly what ethicists said they were worried about.
What is specifically?
The fact that the president's son...
That he reportedly attended an event?
Well, the president's son would be selling artwork and then meeting potentially with people who would seek to buy it. If you have attendees at that event who might be seeking either jobs in this administration or favors from this administration, isn't it an awkward situation to put the president in?
Again, the gallerist has spoken to, we've spoken to the specifics, what the gallerist has agreed to, and what recommendations were made. I've done that several times. I don't have additional details for it from here. I point you to them. Go ahead.
So does this White House not have any concerns about the photos that have emerged of showing Hunter Biden at that gallery alongside prospective buyers?
I point you to the gallerist on specifics of the restrictions that were put in place.
Great, but what about the position of this White House? This is a president who ran on being transparent, and
And we were very transparent about what recommendations were made to the gallerist. And I would again point to them or the many times I've spoken about that from here.
The gallerist. Let's call the gallerist. We can call it. I've never heard of a gallerist. Anyway, the gallerist, the guy at the gallery. They talk about him like he's the chief justice. The gallerist. It's a joke. This is corruption in plain sight. They can't even pretend it's not happening anymore. They're going to put all this on the gallerist. Hunter Biden, an artist? Even according to Hunter Biden, he's not an artist. All right? When the whole world was talking about him during the campaign and that silly book that came out, huh? Did he ever mention he was an artist? A real artist? There are like 8 real artists who can make money doing art in America right now. All right? Not many at all. He shouldn't be one of them. By the way, this is bad for him. Seriously, a person who's in recovery, the arts, there's not enough structure in that field. This is bad for Hunter Biden. It really is. But even according to him, when he goes through his resume, does he ever mention his art?
I went to Yale Law School. I served on at least a dozen boards before Burisma. I was a vice chairman of the board of Amtrak. I was a chairman of the board of the World Food Program, U.S., supporting the largest humanitarian organization in the world. I had expertise in corporate governance. I was asked to serve on the board for corporate governance. And I was a lawyer at Boies Schiller and Flexner.
Okay, what about the Impressionist period, though, huh? I mean, like, all right, this is such a scam. The fake news, they're losing their patience, but that press conference got somewhat interesting. It's not going to be on the news tonight, all right? We'll do it. Very few people are going to talk about this and make it a thing. I want to introduce you to somebody. You probably already know her. She's new to me, though. Her name is Sage Steele, and she is a reporter at ESPN. Here's a sample of her work.
It is to do again after you have won it the first time. So we'll see that those results will be in a couple of months.
Special.
Very, very special. Also special, the All Philadelphia right. 76ers house.
She knows her stuff when it comes to sports. That's Chris B. Smith, isn't it? Yeah. She went on a podcast and she said so much truth. And of course, the fake news and her corporate overlords, Disney and ESPN, they can't handle the truth. I love what she said. I agree with her 1,000%, and she certainly has the right to say it. Listen.
I've had talks with young women
who like would come in and they'd intern with me, with our channel, or just other women who reach out to me now. And I've said to a couple of them, they're like, well, would you look at my tape? Would you do this? And I've said, listen, I would love to, but the way that you present yourself is not something I want to be associated with. When you dress like that,
yeah.
I'm not saying you deserve the gross comments, but you know what you're doing when you're putting that outfit on too.
Yeah.
Like, women are smart. So don't play coy and put it all on the guys. I don't know when the last time I filled out my census was, but yeah. If they make you choose a race,
yeah.
She's like, what are you going to put? I go, well, both. She's like, well, you can't. She goes, well, what if Barack Obama chose black and he's biracial? I'm like, well, congratulations to the president. That's his thing. I go, I think that's fascinating considering his black dad was nowhere to be found, but his white mom and grandma raised him. But hey, mm-hmm. You do you. I respect everyone's decision. I really yeah. do. Yeah. But to mandate it is sick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary yeah. to me in many ways. I have a job.
Yeah.
A job that I love, and frankly, a job that I need. But again, I love it. I just, I'm not surprised it got to this point.
All right. Well, I'm in total agreement. The first thing, she talked about modesty and young girls, right? Something along those lines?
And I've had talks with young women who, like, would come in and they'd intern with me, with our channel, or just other women who reach out to me now. And I've said to a couple of them, they're like, well, would you look at my tape? Would you do this? And I've said, listen, I would love to, but the way that you present yourself is not something I want to be associated with.
Yeah.
So when you dress like that,
yeah.
I'm not saying you deserve the gross comments, but you know what you're doing when you're putting that outfit on too.
Yeah.
Like, women are smart. So don't play coy and put it all on the guys.
Instagram culture and culture beyond that, the way, I agree with her, many women, young women especially, are dressing inspired by, let's see, Kendall Jenner and the Kardashians and just about anybody else out there. There's a lot going on out there that I guess we all are supposed to accept. And ooh, if you look, oh my gosh, you're a creep, puts people in an awkward position. And I think what she said had validity. People could push back and say, I don't agree with that. But now she's, you know, under investigation and off the show and all that kind of stuff. Next, Barack Obama, her comments about him.
What happens when you fill out your census? I'm like, well, I don't know when the last time I filled out my census was, but
yeah.
If they make you choose a race,
yeah.
She's like, what are you going to put? I go, well, both. She's like, well, you can't. She goes, well, what if Barack Obama chose black and he's biracial? I'm like, well, congratulations to the president. That's his thing. I go, I think that's fascinating considering his black dad was nowhere to be found, but his white mom and grandma raised him. But hey, mm-hmm. You do you.
Look, I think she's biracial and her opinion is valid, totally. Anyway, I mean, look, Barack Obama, let's talk about it. We know he has, he told us he has a black father from Kenya, and he was raised essentially by his white grandparents in Kansas, and his mother also white, yet he clearly identifies as black. We've heard that, you know, and this came up, by the way, when we were first getting to know him. He said, I know I'm black every time I try to hail a cab. Especially in New York City. New York City, by the way, 98% of the cab drivers are people of color. So it's an interesting idea. If your parents are one race and parents are another, what do you call yours? I think these opinions are not only, they're interesting and they are mainstream. Who's to say that you can't say this? Her bosses. But I guess this is where she really gets herself in trouble. She does not like being ordered to take the vaccine, and I don't either.
I respect everyone's decision. I really
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
But to mandate it is sick,
mm-hmm.
and it's scary
yeah.
to me in many ways. But I have a job,
yeah.
a job that I love, and frankly, a job that I need. But again, I love it. Yeah. I just... I'm not surprised it got to this point, especially mm-hmm. with Disney. I mean, a global company. Like
yes.
And this, she's in trouble. She's in hot water. She's no longer on TV, at least for the time being, because of that. Disney is a global company. She didn't disparage the company. Vaccine mandates. A lot of people don't like them. Look, she may have to leave that job voluntarily or otherwise. If she does, I think she has a huge future in whatever she chooses to do. Her name is Sage Steele. All right, I'll be right back.
Speak it!
January 6th, the worst thing that ever happened to America, right? Wrong. It's a trespassing event that got out of hand, likely because Democrats had a role in not setting up adequate security. Yes, that's what I believe. That's what I saw, actually. I saw a lot of that, and so did you. But that doesn't play to the narrative. The left, they want to exploit this. They want to stigmatize half the country and make us afraid. Actually make us afraid. It's not working with me, and I don't want it to work with you. But they're not fooling around. So a whistleblower, you know how the left loves whistleblowers, came out and said, Facebook, they had a role in all of this stuff. It's just an effort to make Facebook even more inhospitable to conservatives. But here is the whistleblower.
Facebook has been emphasizing a false choice. They've said the safeguards that were in place before the election implicated free speech. Facebook changed those safety defaults in the run-up to the election because they knew they were dangerous. And because they wanted that growth back, they wanted the acceleration of the platform back after the election, they returned to their original defaults. And the fact that they had to break the glass on January 6th and turn them back on, I think that's deeply problematic.
Deeply problematic. This may sound technical, but it's not. It's a way to make Facebook, just like everything else coming from big tech, less hospitable to people like me who conservative. They want to inhibit us. They want to make us shy about expressing ourselves. More from the whistleblower.
The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people. Facebook, when faced with conflicts of interest between its own profits and the common good, public safety, that Facebook consistently chose to prioritize its profits. Facebook needs to take responsibility for the consequences of its choices. It needs to be willing to accept small trade-offs on profit. Facebook invests more in users who make them more money, even though the danger may not be evenly distributed based on profitability.
Ooh, putting profits before people. Where has that ever happened before? In the history of America, has that ever happened before? A business concerned about profits. Here's one example, one of the biggest names ever. Coca-Cola. Do you think Coca-Cola ever did any good for anybody? I have a Coke right here, in fact, okay? I stopped drinking Coke after they meddled in the Georgia election law. Actually, take a look at that.
Let me be crystal clear and unequivocal. This legislation is unacceptable. It is a step backwards, and it does not promote principles we have stood for in Georgia around broad access to voting, around voter convenience, about ensuring election integrity. And this is frankly just a step backwards.
Okay, let me be crystal clear about your product. It is poison. It's not crystal clear. In fact, would you like a demo? I mean, we all know what Coke looks like and tastes like. Is this crystal clear stuff? This is horrible. There is absolutely nothing at all good for you from Coke. Nothing whatsoever. 140 calories, no nutrients whatsoever, zero protein. 39 grams of carbs, total sugar. I mean, this is poison. I told you, I'm not drinking it. I'm a Pepsi man. profits over people. You can't single Facebook out like this, all right? You can't. Unless you have a political motive. And they do. And they do. Right now, you know what I think about? I actually don't think about them enough, but those who are still in jail as a result of January 6th. There are so many people who are still in jail. And you know what? Even powerful members of Congress can't get answers. You've seen the delegations. They've gone to the jail. They've asked. They won't let them in. This is horrible stuff. This is not worthy of America. And some of these people who were incarcerated didn't hurt anybody, and they didn't break anything. What has happened to our country? We know what's happening. They're trying to, evil forces, quite frankly, evil forces are trying to take it over and change it forever. We can't let that happen. We have to obey the law, but we can't run scared. Sound good? I think you agree.
Black lives matter!
Black Lives Matter, of course, Black Lives Matter. Not the way the Black Lives Matter movement says they only care when a black life is taken by a white cop. No, all Black Lives Matter, of course, including the life of a 28-year-old expecting mother named Akilah, who was shot in her car yesterday, 28 years old, pregnant. Georgia State Police were called to a car crash on a local highway. When they arrived at the scene, they found a Honda Accord with Akilah inside, multiple bullet holes on the side of the car. They found a gunshot wound, taken to the hospital in critical condition, and later pronounced dead. Her unborn child died as well. Police say that Akilah was shot by someone in another car, but so far, no suspects, no leads, just 28 years old and pregnant. We'll be right back.
You're on the go and need news now. No paywalls, no cable subscriptions. Just download the Newsmax app from your smartphone store. It's free. And watch Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere.
Governor Mike Huckabee, one of my favorites, former Governor Mike Huckabee. I have a feeling there could be a family relation in charge of Arkansas pretty soon, I hope. Anyway, Governor Huckabee, welcome back. He is the host of Huckabee on Trinity Broadcasting Network, Saturdays at 8 and 11 and Sundays at 9 Eastern Time. Governor, great to see you again. How are you?
Greg, I'm doing great. Such an honor to be with you. And, you know, if Sarah gets into the governor's mansion, I think what's going to be great is that when her kids try to hide from her, it isn't going to work. She knows where all the cool hiding places are because she grew up there.
Well, let's refresh everybody's memory, number one, because, you know, she was so good at the job. You know, Sarah, big star, press secretary for Donald Trump. I think we got a picture or two. Well, there she is with you. But she, of course, was Donald Trump's press secretary for, I think, 2 years. And she was awesome in that job, just kind of redefined the position. And now she's running for governor of Arkansas. You must be so proud. How is it looking down there? How I would imagine she's a shoo-in, but nothing's guaranteed in politics.
No, there's only two ways to run for public office, unopposed or scared. She's not unopposed, so she's going to give it all she's got. She's way ahead in the polls, and her fundraising is so good. Greg, if I'd raised that kind of money, heck, I'd be president now. But I'm really proud of her. I think she will win, but she certainly doesn't take anything for granted. And there's a lot of Hollywood and big tech money that's coming against her because they don't like her very much. And I think that's all the more reason that Arkansas people will elect her.
All right. All right. Well, listen, big tech, they don't seem to not only do they not like her, they don't seem to like our way of life in America. It's being fundamentally altered in disturbing ways. I'd love to get your take on what the Attorney General of the United States did earlier this week, sending a letter to the FBI directing them to get involved in these school board meetings, at least coordinate with law enforcement and keep an eye on what's happening. It seems very, very chilling. I think there's the intent is to possibly scare people. The FBI and school board meetings, they don't go together. What's your reaction to that?
It's one of the most disturbing things I think I've ever seen come out of the federal government. And of the last several years, there have been a lot of really disturbing things coming out of the federal government. And Greg, here's why it ought to really upset every American, even if you don't agree with the people going to the school board meetings. If the FBI can be sort of used as a threat as to why you should not exercise your free speech, then we're killing free speech. And some of these folks that, you know, show up at school boards, they're parents. They have a right to be at the school board. The school boards work for the taxpayers. It's not the other way around. These school board members that want to be shielded from criticism might want to do things that don't get them criticized so much, like putting in this ridiculous, nutty nonsense of critical race theory in our schools and putting out textbooks and other types of books in the libraries that are, by anybody's evaluation, pornography. If they might run their schools to educate instead of indoctrinate, maybe so many angry parents wouldn't show up. But here's the fact. If somebody threatens a school board member, that's a crime, and the local police is more than capable of taking care of it. You don't need the FBI coming in from Washington marching to a school board meeting. But let me just mention this. I think it is so disturbing when people think that if you show up, even if you yell and scream, heck, you know, I was governor. I went to town halls. People yelled at me. You don't call that something needing censorship. You call that citizenship. And Merrick Garland ought to be absolutely ashamed of himself for trying to squash that.
I think I was surprised. I think he was going to do this anyway, because the left, the woke left in particular, they're losing this argument in those hearings, at those school board meetings, because these parents are so strong and so effective. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently Merrick Garland's daughter, who I'm told is very nice, is married to a man who actually works at a place called Panorama Education. And Panorama Education, they've got some software, and a lot of it is very much in keeping with the new woke kind of values that are pervading, or that want to be spread, that they want to spread in so many school districts. This seems like a major conflict of interest to me. What are your thoughts?
It certainly appears that it could be. I'm not saying that it is, or that somehow he is influenced by his son-in-law. But I'm more concerned that he's not being influenced by the Constitution. Hmm. The First Amendment guarantees us not only the right of free speech, but the ability to speak to our government, to assemble, to express our grievances. And when the FBI is called in to tell us, shut up, they explained, then something is terribly wrong with an attorney general who seems to believe that it is his role and his duty to tell parents of children in a school financed by taxpayers that they just need to shut up, sit back, and let the government run the schools. And they'll let us know if there's anything they want us to know.
Governor, I don't have much time, but you famously lost a lot of weight. You're keeping it off now. And by the way, the beard is very good. What is your secret? How do you, what's your diet? What do you avoid? What do you eat? What do you not eat?
Well, there's an old saying, I don't always abide by it, but if it comes through the car window, it's not food. That's a pretty good rule of thumb, because sometimes in our crazy world of being in a hurry, we tend to get stuff that's not necessarily good, whole, and unprocessed food. So that's a good start. But if I need good advice, I'd probably get it from a guy who was a Marine aviator, like this guy Greg Kelly I know, who is a pretty sharp guy.
Well, unfortunately, I have the food that comes through the window is my favorite. So, Governor Huckabee, all the best. Thank you so much for being here, and our best to your daughter. Thank you, sir. To be continued.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. Take care. We'll be right back, everybody. Okay, there he is, the phony artist, Hunter Biden. So the White House said he's not going to be meeting with any potential buyers. They said that a few weeks ago. A total lie, because he's been spotted at an art gallery doing what? Meeting buyers, potential buyers of his crummy paintings. Here's Jen Psaki trying to explain her way out of the situation.
Well, to be clear, we've spoken to the arrangement that is run by the gallerist and Hunter Biden's representatives that the White House provided suggestions for. I'd refer you to the gallerist for questions about the event as well as the representatives of Mr. Garcetti in terms of his attendance.
Okay. The gallerist. See the gallerist. I call him the guy who runs the gallery. And he's not calling us back, by the way. Roger Kimball joins us, editor of the New Criterion, magazine, a monthly review of the arts. Roger, welcome back. I know, first of all, let's be clear here. Hunter is a crummy artist. You've looked at this stuff. You have an eye. You have the experience. Just how bad is this art?
Well, the thing to understand, Greg, is that this has nothing to do with art. And everything to do with rancid narcissism, influence peddling, and political corruption. That's what this is about. Marinated in our two-tier justice system. I was listening to you a bit earlier about our absurd attorney general and his attempt to mobilize the police power of the United States, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation down to the local level, to beat up on parents who object to the indoctrination of their children in critical race theory and so on. What's happened to Hunter Biden? his laptop full of all this pornography, all of these deals with China, all of this money. It's his entire life is marinated in not only narcissism, but of course, the foreign money. What happens to him? Well, Twitter and Facebook suppress any news of this laptop. They took the oldest newspaper in the country, the New York Post, which broke this story. They took down their Twitter account, said this was Russian disinformation.
Roger, I know, it's crazy. Hey, by the way, if you keep talking like this, you're going to find yourself shadow banned and censored. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
it's,
you know,
no, 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 I applaud
okay
you.
With me.
Roger, I applaud you, and you're spot on correct. And it's wild. If you do look up Hunter Biden, Google image him,
yes,
none of that
yes
stuff from the laptop appears. And those are...
Of course.
I mean, those should be there. Those should be there. All right, so we have this show in Los Angeles at L.A.'s Milk
yes
Studios on Friday, hosted by the
right
gallerist Georges Baragi or something like that.
I think it's Georges Baragi, yes. He has a gallery in New York, too, where Hunter is having a show, I'm told.
And I think we have some pictures from this thing. So this is
yeah
how it goes down. If, let's pretend it wasn't
right
Hunter Biden. Let's pretend it was a legit artist
mm-hmm
and
yes
of real talent. This is
right
what a show would look like. Prominent people
right
going to
right
see the art prior and meeting
right
the artist prior to buying it, right?
Yes, right. Yes. But of course, in this case, we don't know who's going to buy it. We don't know who the buyers are going to be. We do know what the price tags are going to be, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. Gee, who was that person who wanted to talk to you, who bought your artwork? Well, we can't tell you. Wouldn't be anybody who's going to see your dad by any chance, would it? That's what this is about, Greg. I mean, even to bring in aesthetics is to, I think, misunderstand what this is about. This is poaching on the authority of art in our culture in order to do something else. It's yet another way in which what Rudy Giuliani called the Biden crime family is pulling the wool over our eyes.
Roger Kimball, you know what? You know the art world so well, and there aren't many. There are some who are willing to step forward and lend their expertise. I appreciate it so much. You're actually being quite artistic, actually, in a certain way. You know what I mean? This is what
yeah
art is supposed
I know what
to
you
be.
Mean.
Bold, bold, and committed to the truth. Roger Kimball, check out the New Criterion magazine, monthly review of the arts. I will subscribe. It's not my thing, but I'm going to subscribe just for
good
this. Thank you,
you
sir.
You will like it.
Thank
you.
You
will like it. Thanks very,
very
much.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. You're getting the word out there about this show, right? Right? Stand by for Cinchfield.